show. It's called The Wondrous
Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm not sure if you heard me, but my name is Tanya Shabazz, and I will be your host tonight for The Wondrous Women, which we have an episode every week on Thursday night with different topics. I hope that you all have had a great day and a wonderful afternoon, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight because we have a very interesting topic that I feel that each one of us in some point in life will be able to relate to. So I'm just so thankful to be a part of this program tonight, and I'm praying that each one of you that are on the line will also feel blessed from being a part of our program tonight. Tonight we have a wondrous woman on the phone with us, and her name is Angela Medlock. And Angela is, I'm going to let Angela introduce herself, but I just want to say one thing about Angela. Angela is a Christian woman and a mom and a wife, and she is a professional counselor in the Pontiac School District. So at this time, I would like to welcome Angela on the show and let her know how much we appreciate her expertise and all the things that she works with, especially our children. It's just a blessing to have a Christian woman in her position to work with our children. So, Angela, hello. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Tanya.
Well, good. Good to have you, Angela. Angela, if you would just give a brief introduction to our audience before we get started on the show, we would definitely appreciate just hearing a little bit about you.
Okay. Like you said, I do work in Pontiac, Michigan for Pontiac High School as a at-risk school social worker, and I also work at Eastersfield, Michigan in Auburn Hills as a mental health clinician where I do therapy with children age 7 up to, you know, when they graduate from high school. So my main mold is psychotherapy that we work on.
Okay. Well, Angela, as I said in the beginning, we feel so blessed to have you on our program tonight. And you have chosen a very good topic, a topic that I can personally relate to myself. And I'm sure that all the callers on the line tonight have also either know someone who has experienced trauma in their life or has experienced trauma themselves. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the program. But again, it's just a blessing to have someone that is willing to share this topic with us, and especially one who has experience in the field with children and adults. That's just an excellent range of knowledge and experience, and we thank God for you, Angela. So as we begin, we will talk about our subject tonight is what is trauma? We will be talking about what is trauma. And again, this is something that we all probably can relate to in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, as a listening audience, if you have any questions or if you have any comments, you will just hit 1 on your keyboard, and we will address any question or comments that you may have. After you just dial 1 on your keyboard, we will put you on the air, and you will be able to ask Angela any questions concerning trauma or any aspects of trauma. So we're going to get started tonight, Angela. And the first question I would like to ask you, Angela, is just explain to us what is trauma. What does that mean when we say trauma?
Okay, so I'm going to give kind of a formal definition of trauma. And what trauma is an unexpected or sudden event that creates feelings of extreme fear or helplessness and even hopelessness. And trauma is the individual's experience of that event, not the event itself, meaning a lot of times when we see something, we think, oh, that's going to be very traumatizing. It very well may not be traumatizing to that individual. So that's the definition of trauma pretty much in a nutshell.
Okay, so let me just kind of recap what you said. So trauma is an unexpected event, and it is based on an individual experience. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, okay, all right. Well, all right, again, to our listening audience, if you have any questions concerning what is trauma or any comments, please feel free to dial 1 on your keyboard, and we will entertain your questions or your comments. Okay, Angela, so the next question that I have for you is, what group is most susceptible to trauma? In other words, who would most likely experience trauma in their lives?
And the simple answer to that is everyone. Everyone. There is not one group more. Obviously, those who are like in the military are at
mm-hmm.
higher risk, but everybody is at risk of trauma. And just a little fact, the vast majority of people, about 80%, experience trauma in their own home, typically by their parents. And this doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean all the time that the parents are abusive or negligent or whatever, but a lot of things go on in your home inadvertently or, you know, just ignorantly, however you want to define it. But it really, really, really starts so close that a lot of us overlook that piece.
Okay. Now, when you say experience trauma in their home, individuals experiencing trauma in their home or even in their life, Angela, can we get a little bit more specific in terms of what types of things may we experience that we can label a traumatic experience?
Okay. So, again, just to reiterate a little bit, it's still going to be defined by that individual, but some common things would be maybe a fall. It could be a car
mm-hmm.
accident, and it can be minor things as in loud noises, your fears of some sort of animal, buzz, height. It could be as minor as those, and then it can be the more obvious ones where there's abuse, emotional, mental, physical, sexual. It could be bullying, you know, drug use, witnessing someone being harmed or hurt, witnessing some very devastating event, and then you have those big major macro events such as, you know, 911, terrorism, hearing about a plane crashing, those types of things. So it's from very small to very prominent incidents.
Okay. Okay. Now, can we also consider a traumatic event being maybe a health problem or maybe a loss in the family or maybe a breakup in a relationship? Would those all go under the topic of traumatic events?
Absolutely. I've had a client who his traumatic event was when his father was going through pneumonia. It was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, and just the fact that he saw his parent kind of helpless. So, yeah, absolutely all of those things, health, everything.
Okay.
Nothing is out of his reach. Okay, good.
So, again, just reiterating our topic about trauma tonight. Trauma, as Angela has spoken, is an unexpected event or a painful event in someone's life. Now, for me, Angela, I'd like to ask this question. This is a personal question from my aspect of something that I have experienced that has been traumatic in my life, and that was the loss of my mother. And although
mm-hmm.
it was an expected event because my mother had been sick for so long, so I expected her, you know, I knew that her time was growing near, but I was traumatized by her death. And so can we also say that even though there is something that we expect or we kind of feel like may happen, can we still be traumatized in the same way as an unexpected event in our lives?
Yeah, because it's still going to go down to the feelings of what the event was. So although we say it's an unexpected or sudden event is in there as well, and then they create that feeling. So even though you may have emotionally saw your mother go down and knew it was coming, the day that it came was still, by definition, unexpected. You know, it gets to be a little tenuous there, but either way it goes, the feeling that came from that causes the trauma.
Okay.
And, even for that situation, the traumatic piece of that could have also been that you knew it was coming. So you're helpless now. What do I do? Can I stop it? So all of that plays into how you were still traumatized at the end.
Okay, thank you. Another question I have, and I'm pretty much sticking with my personal experience, and then, again, callers, if you're on the line, and I see a lot of callers on the line, if you have something traumatic that you'd like to share with Angela or a question you may have, just dial 1 on your keyboard, and we will make sure that you are able to get your question or your comment in. Okay, so Angela, going back to my mom's death, mm-hmm. I have days where I may be having a good day, and all of a sudden I realize that my mom is not here anymore, and it becomes traumatic for me at that moment. So the event has already happened. My mom has been gone for 8 years now. But I still have those days where all of a sudden it feels as if it just happened. Can you speak to us a little bit on how those emotions happen to us or what causes us to go back into that traumatic event?
Yes, and that's one of the effects of trauma. And therapeutically speaking, we call it re-experiencing. And what re-experiencing is, it's spontaneous memories of the traumatic event, recurrent dreams related to it, flashbacks, or other intense feelings or emotions or thoughts. It could be a smell, it could be a look, it could be a piece of jewelry, it could be a person. And all of that gets your brain right back in that moment at the time it happened. Your brain is no longer in the present moment. It's right back at that traumatic moment, and that's what you experience. And I don't know if you know, you may, but I lost both of my parents, and of course there's times like something happy or sad happens and you want to call them, and then all of a sudden you're like right back at that moment, and your whole surrounding feels like something different. Those are re-experiencing the event. And that's what we call triggers when we're doing treatment for it. We call it triggers mm-hmm. because you're just automatically there. You usually don't know how or why mm-hmm. it just happens.
Okay. Well, you know, again, we have several callers on the line, and if you'd like to make a comment at this point, you would just dial 1 on your keyboard, and we would be glad to hear from you. Our topic tonight is what is trauma? Okay, now, Angela, something that I think that we all can relate to as being a traumatic event in our society in the United States is the tragedy that happened, the 911 tragedy. I have uh-huh. been told by several people who have had family members that were affected by that traumatic event, and I think that we all can call that a traumatic event, that they say that they relive the trauma of the 911 tragedy when they see an airplane or when mm-hmm. they see certain tall buildings. So as you spoke of before, those would be considered triggers to whatever the traumatic event is. Is that correct?
Definitely. 100%. That's a trigger.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's move to the next question. And you have touched on it, and I'm going to just ask it again in case we've had some callers to join us. But how does trauma affect or impact the individual's ability to function? So how does that impact your ability if you have experienced a traumatic event in your life, whether it be in the present or, and you can also address both sides of it. If you presently have experienced trauma, how does it sometimes impact your ability to function? And if you've had a post-traumatic response, how does that sometimes affect your ability to function?
Okay, so, yeah, like you said, the re-experiencing is one impact or the effect of trauma where you're just back there at the moment, so your emotions are all open again, and you may cry, you may get sad, you may get angry, any emotion that, you know, can relate to it may come. Other things related to that, like I said, the negative or the different changes in your moods and your thought patterns, they may become distorted. And this is part of the PTSD, the post-traumatic. So that's when you hear of people who, what you think, they overreact to something and they're extremely or intensively angry or violent, and it's just all of a sudden. So those are like distorted senses coming from the trauma, and sometimes you may have a sense of blame. You blame yourself. You might blame somebody else, so there's the anger and the violence and the aggressiveness. You may have this estrangement from other people. That's when you start seeing depression. You may lose interest in activities that you normally do. Or sometimes you just have an inability to remember key aspects of the event. And you hear that a lot of times where people say, no, it didn't bother me, I don't even remember. And they really don't. And usually their body remembers it emotionally, which is where you get those five senses triggers, you know, seeing, hearing, touch, smell. Those senses trigger your emotions, but you don't know why. You also have that that fight or flight or freeze response to it, which is the post-traumatic. Sometimes you've probably heard of people who just freeze all of a sudden. So, you know, when you have that intense fear, and this is a generalized one, a spider, you see a spider, you just freeze. You're just stuck. That's a trauma. Mm-hmm. You see a snake, you're just stuck. Instead of running, you're just stuck. So your arousal, you know, your body arousal and your ability to respond changes. So sometimes your brain cuts off, and the safety and the coping is to just freeze, or is to run away, or is to fight. And so a lot of times in children and, you know, the PTSD piece, you'll see aggression. You'll see the children who are aggressive, they're what we might call oppositional. They don't want to do what you say. They have sleep disturbances. Some of them are hyper-vigilant over things. But you'll see that. And then with school age and sometimes even work, you know, you'll have the individuals who just seem so distant, so defensive, so defiant. And you don't know why. That was their body's coping at the time of the trauma that never got addressed. So that's now how they go through life. And that's where that before we started labeling the military vets as PTSD, everybody just thought, oh, they're just crazy. They didn't know it was an actual, it rewired their brain, so to speak. So, and just an interesting fact, you know, animals get that too.
Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. So, Angela, what about our, I know that every person, because you mentioned different aspects, some people are depressed, you know, some people can't sleep, some people are angry or anxious or whatever, but what about still staying with my experience of losing my mom, there are certain aspects that I could not remember about what actually took place during the time of my mom's passing. For instance, you know, I could not remember details like who was there, you know, and maybe what she had on or, you know, just small details. But then sometimes in my days of loneliness or when I may feel depressed or whatever, the memories, the things that I say I can't remember, if the memories pop up and I'm like, oh, my mom had on she had on a maroon color suit, you know. But if someone would have asked me before that memory popped up, you know, what did you bury your mom in? And I know I've sat and I've thought about it, and I'm like, what did my mom have on? And I was the one that picked out the suit, and I couldn't remember. But when I'm not thinking that I'm thinking about that traumatic event, all of a sudden it will pop up in my mind, and I'm like, oh, she had on this maroon color suit. So what about our mind that sometimes suppresses those painful memories or those traumatic events? And what would you say brings that, and you may have addressed it earlier, I'm just asking in a different way, but what brings that memory up out of just nowhere?
Again, that's a trigger. And it could have been you smelled a certain thing. You saw something. A lot of these triggers are unknown. It's something just in your environment at that time. It could have been, you know, how sometimes we sit there and we don't think we're thinking. There's certain connections. So maybe at the time you're sitting in your living room and then something happened, you know, those deja vus we say, something happens and then that chain of thoughts goes, take you right back to that specific moment. The reason you've forgotten it is because at the time it happened, it was traumatic. And speaking of, you know, death, what happens is life stands still, but it goes fast at the same time. Mm-hmm. And at that time, that's your get into action. That's that arousal. At the time, your mother died, so everybody already knew it was coming. You guys got into action. Everything went fast. Everything came at you fast. You got to do this, entertain this person. Somebody's coming over here for here. Then you got to figure out what to wear. Where are you going to, who's going to do the eulogy? Other people are visiting. Mm-hmm. You're getting more flowers. You didn't have time to process it. So your brain compartmentalized it to keep you safe and to help you cope through it. And then, like I said, so sometimes just at peace or maybe not at peace, a trigger came through. You know, it just came through like a spirit, and it hit you, and you're like, oh, my gosh, her nails were painted this color, her toenails, da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, why? And it gets eerie. But your body allowed it to come through at that moment because of something.
Okay. Now, in terms of children, and you work with children a lot, so in terms of children, would you say that children deal with trauma differently than adults?
Yeah, the biggest difference between children and adults is with children, they typically seem unharmed. Everything seems normal. And it may happen, the traumatic piece may happen later. Now, it could be days later, a week later, months later. It could be years later when it hits them. Because their brains are still developing, and they do not have the capacity to take that level of trauma, let alone understanding of what happened. So a lot of times with therapy with children, we end up taking them back, because what happens is you'll see a lot of children, because recklessness and self-destructiveness, being aggressive and defiant is part of trauma. But it's also part of a lot of other psychological diagnoses. So if we don't know there's trauma, we typically rarely get to helping these kids the appropriate way, because It's that memory, and we don't know how to, we have not taught them to fight off the triggers. Because say it happened to an infant or a toddler who's pre-verbal, all of their memories are, well, most of their memories are emotional. So all their triggers is something that their body felt, you know, mentally. So that there definitely is going to be a smell or a sight or even a sound. And so theirs come later or theirs come in more undesired behaviors for children.
Okay. Okay, if I can get you to pause, Angela, we do have a caller that has a question or a comment. And I will ask the caller, the last four digits is 3632. Hello, and we're glad to have you. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, ma'am, I have a question. My question is with the trauma, the ones, people or relatives that we do know that are having trauma, what is the most encouraging way that we can, is it better to try to encourage them or just to listen or just not say anything?
That's an excellent question. For both of them, what's your name, caller? I'm sorry.
My name is Teresa. Teresa Parker.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa Parker. So for your question, your latter two answers was it listening and being quiet, because you know in being quiet, you're listening. So you can do what we call active listening, where you let them know you hear them, because a lot of times, and being a woman, you know this. A lot of times we just need to talk it out. We don't really need a saving piece right then. So listening, because a lot of times for them to just get it out is therapeutic on its own.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you,
Teresa.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Now, again, if we have any other callers on the line that would like to ask a question or make a comment, you would just dial 1 on your keyboard, and we would be glad to hear from you. We thank you so much, Teresa, for your participation, and we'll continue on. So we do have another caller, and we will go ahead and entertain that question. And the caller's telephone, the last four digits of their number is 2286. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, because there can be triggers that we have, and it seems that the trauma may always be possible because of those triggers, so you are never really cured from the trauma because it's always there in your memory. What are some things you can do to counteract the trauma and what you're feeling?
That's a great question as well. So what we typically will want for them to do, one of our biggest pieces for treatment is relaxation. So find something that helps relax, something healthy that helps relax you. So if it's meditation, if it's praying, if it's yoga, if it's exercising, it doesn't have to be the calm relaxation that we automatically think of. So if somebody's a runner, they can get out and run. It just helps. Whatever helps put you at ease is very helpful for those triggers. And that's what we'll teach people is when you start learning your body and the different senses that your body feels when you're getting triggered, then you go into that relaxation piece. And we call it coping skills or just relaxation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller. All right. Okay, so we, again, our topic for tonight is we're talking about the effects of trauma and how to deal with trauma. So, again, if anyone else would like to make a comment or ask a question, you would just dial 1 on your keyboard, and we would be glad to entertain your question. So, Angela, we did talk about children with trauma, and you spoke with me about my specific trauma in my life. I'd like to ask you, is there a difference generally between the way women handle trauma and men handle trauma, or is it basically the same?
For the most part, it's the same. It's going to be a lot of overlapping. But avoidance would be one of the biggest differences, and I really don't have the statistical figures, so it's more of a generalization of what we know of men and what we know of women, men are going to keep it in more. Women will talk it, whether it's a professional talk or to a girlfriend talking. But men typically keep it in more. And then the other piece is we avoid. We avoid whatever it is that traumatized us. We just try to stay away from it. We try not to talk about it. And that's across the board.
Okay. All right. Now, one of our callers, well, both of our callers made great comments, but I would kind of like to elaborate on one of the callers, but I believe it was the first caller who said, how can we help? And you mentioned just being there to listen. But one of the things that I would like to ask as well is if you understand that someone around you, one of your good friends or one of your coworkers or the members of one of your sisters in Christ, you know that they have been through a traumatic event. And you mentioned that it's always good, and I believe it is too, is to just to listen. But what would be a good coach, Angela, in your mind? What would be a good coach? If I knew, say, that you just went through a traumatic event, and I can see by the changes in your facial expressions, your moods, your energy, whatever is noticeable to me as your friend or your sister in Christ or your family member, what would be a good approach to get them to open up and to talk to you where you are able to listen to them and assist them? Would it be better for you to allow them to come to you first with it? Or if you see someone suffering, would it be a good thing to approach them and ask them if they wanted to talk?
All of that is good, because with trauma, it's tricky. So all of that is good. If it's someone you know, and you know them well, anybody actually, if you see them suffering, definitely talk to them about it. What we want to try not to do is immediately get them to delve into it, because they can go to places that you cannot get them back. So that's when you want to bring in the professionals, because that's part of the post-traumatic stress disorder. If they go there and you don't have the tools to bring them back, it's a dangerous situation. So listening to them, but let me emphasize, like you asked, it's definitely a good thing to talk with them about it, to say, I did notice this. Is there anything I can do? And if you still see the changes, you definitely want to encourage them to go get help, because they could go into what I call dark places, and then you'll definitely see the change. You'll see the isolation, the depression. You kind of like self-sabotage. They're not getting out of the house. They're not going to work. They're not taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of. So just to highlight, definitely ask what's going on. Stay vigilant with that when you see it, and help them to get the correct help.
Okay, thank you, Angela. Well, I'd like to ask any of the callers that may be on the line, if you would like to make a comment concerning the question that I just asked. If you have had a traumatic event or you are experiencing a traumatic event in your life, how would you like for someone to approach you, or would you like for someone to approach you? Would you rather go to someone yourself, or would it make you feel better if someone would notice you and come to you and say, I notice that you're feeling down, or I notice you're having a bad day. What can I do to help? I'd like to hear from some of the callers on the line if you would like to just share your thoughts on that. For the two callers who have already made comments, I would like to ask you to hit 1 on your keyboard again to see if I can get you out of the queue. This is my first day of managing my own session, so I'm having a little difficulty. I still see you in the queue as a question mark. So there you go. Okay, thank you both to both the callers. So when you make a comment, you will want to hit, when you want to make a comment, you will want to hit 1 on your keyboard. And then when you finish your comment, if you would for me, just hit 1 again, and that will take you out of the queue, and I won't sit here and be so confused. So, again, if anybody would like to make a comment about how do you feel when you are having some type of trauma in your life, if you've had a loss, if you've had a breakup in a relationship, if something has happened to one of your children, or you've lost your job or anything, and you are depressed, would you like for someone to come to you and ask you if they would like to talk? I'm asking any of the callers on the line, if you'd like to make a comment on that, just 1 on your keyboard, and we would love to hear what you would have to say about that. Okay, I haven't gotten any callers yet, and that's okay. I'm glad to see everyone know that everyone is listening, and we have quite a few callers on the line, and I just appreciate your presence and participation. Okay, the next question I have for you, Angela, is what type of treatments are available for individuals who have been affected by trauma? What type of treatments? Where should we go? What can we do? What type of treatments are out there in our society today?
Okay, so obviously with me working for Easterfield, Michigan, that's one of the places, and we do what we call TFCBT, which is trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. And for the callers who ask questions, we use some of those treatments I suggested. So number one would be psychoeducation from the therapist, where we help you understand what's going on. Then we start teaching you about relaxation, because you have to be able to bring yourself out of that moment. We do this thing called affect regulation and cognitive coping, which is to help with expressing those feelings and dealing with those feelings. And that's where I said you, as just a friend, you don't want to push them into talking about it, because after they get there and re-experience, you may not be able to bring them back. So we do the psychoeducation, the relaxation, the affect regulation, cognitive coping, and then particularly for TFCBT, we do what we call a trauma narrative. And there was a time when they say, don't let them relive it, don't let them re-experience it. But that's not what we do in TFCBT. We help them. We kind of help get them desensitized to it, where they can talk about it and it don't send them in a tizzy. So we help them write their story, and the story is meant for them and one close person that they want to share it with, just so we can kind of help them regulate how they respond to it. And while we're doing all of these things, we help them identify triggers. Now, like the one caller said, and I'm so sorry I didn't get her name, she did say, obviously, you're never cured, because there's going to be a trigger no matter what. No matter how hard we work on helping you identify triggers, there's going to be more triggers. So we just help you to learn how to cope with those triggers when they come and when you feel it in your body. And then we work with the family, the whole family, and whoever else you want to bring in there on healing. And one of the things there is we help. So just for example, say if it's with a parent and they really didn't know the severity of the trauma, I would work with that parent one-on-one to make sure when they hear this story, they don't react in a way that sets the individual back. So a lot of times when you hear something, especially if it's your child, you show your emotions, and then the child starts feeling bad again. So we work with that other person to help them to respond in a loving, compassionate way with the child and get their feelings in check. And one thing that I won't go into right here, but there is a thing called, well, I'm going to go into it briefly. There's a thing called secondary trauma, And so that's for the people who hear, that's for those of us who hear the story. Because we all know if you hear of a loved one, particularly children who've been traumatized, then all of a sudden you feel like you have some stuff going on. So we work with the whole party on that.
Okay.
And then that story is written by the individual the way they want. They can be creative. They can illustrate it however they want. They can act it out however they want. But only after we've gotten to the piece where we can see that they can bring themselves back from that re-experiencing situation. There's also other treatments out there. We have a program at Easter Seals where you get an assessment because your brain gets rewired, especially the younger you are. So you have neurological assessments to help see where the damage may have taken place in your brain. And then from that assessment, different treatments are recommended. There's also a group called TLC, which is trauma loss with children and families. They have different ways of dealing with it. You can use art. You can use regular psychotherapy. It's just all kinds of ways. The biggest thing in any therapy for it is to be able to help that person come, especially for the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress, to be able to help them come back out of that situation into the present.
Okay, and those sound very good, and I really like the exercise piece of it, doing something for relaxation. You actually use the word relaxation, and when I think of relaxation, I think of walking. But through my experience in life, I have been actually walking for 21 years since I lost my son 21 years ago through a tragic. He was murdered. And I want to talk a little bit about the triggers that I've had with that loss as well. My son was 23 years old when he was murdered, and it was 21 years ago. And I have noticed that when I run across young men that are between the ages of 20 or 25, because it was my only son, I have noticed within my own self that I always try to reach out to those young men, or I can be driving down the street, not really thinking that I'm thinking about my son, but I know that there hasn't been a day that's went by that I haven't thought about him in some shape or form. But I can remember an instance where I was driving down the street. I was living in Dallas, and there were two young men fighting, and they were in their 20s. And that was a trigger for me. I became so emotional and so upset that I stopped my car and I got out of the car. And, you know, in our society today, that's a very brave thing to do. But I was not really even thinking about the safety of myself. You know, I was just thinking, oh, my God, these young men are fighting. Somebody is going to get hurt, you know. And so I found myself, I began to identify my triggers. And after 21 years of dealing with the murder of my son, I have started to try to fight the triggers. You know, in other words, I have started to try not to pay so much attention to, and I'm talking like in a motherly way, not to pay so much attention to what's going on with the young men around me, because I realize that it has all resulted from the fact that I have lost my son. So what I'm saying is that I agree with you, Angela, that there are triggers that come into our lives, and the caller, and I'm sorry I didn't get her name either, but the second caller mentioned that these traumas sometimes stay with us until all of our lives. They never go away. And so, and I agree with that. I know that as long as I live, I will never forget that my son was murdered. Now, I can't remember all of the details. Again, sometimes details come back in various ways. You know, I can be washing the dishes and started singing a song, and I'm like, where did this song come from? And I started thinking about my son. Okay, this song was sung at his funeral. So it's sometimes it's a subconscious thing, or maybe a suppressed thing for me that I have suppressed, and it just comes out in the most unexpected times, you know. So I do identify as well with those triggers. Now, Angela, I have another question in terms of medication. A lot of times when you go into, and I have been in counseling, in therapy over the years, and a lot of times the therapist or the counselor will give medication. What about medication, or what are your feelings about, and it can be personal or professional, or, you know, you may not even want to give an opinion, you know, but I'm just going to ask, what do you think about medication? Is that always would that be like a secondary measure, or do you all ever use it, you know, to treat any of the traumatic events that go on in children's lives or adults' lives?
Yes. I don't give advice on medication because we have psychiatrists for that. But yes, the question is yes, we do use medication mainly for symptoms. It's never for trauma itself. It's for some of those symptoms. So if you have the depression because of it, or maybe high anxiety because of it, then you get the antidepressants, and then you get like the calming medications for that. And whatever some of the symptoms are that has medication for it, they may give it to them. But that's going to be at the individual's discretion if they feel like mm-hmm. it's so bad that they want medication. But the thing that we say about medication is the medication is always meant to be temporary while you get yourself the medication is to help you maintain yourself enough that the therapy piece can help you. And then you kind of wean off of it and use the skills from therapy so that you don't have to have the medication.
Okay. Thank you, Angela. Now, there is a stereotype in our society that says that most African Americans do not seek counseling, or they do not seek help for any of their issues, which mainly are probably traumatic issues. Do you find that to be true just from your own personal experience that we as African American communities don't reach out or we don't take advantage of counseling?
I do. I unfortunately do find that to be true. That we are a big part of our population still have that negative stigma to therapy. We don't go to therapy. Therapy is for crazy people. And so we further, you know, lose ourselves to whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in your experience, Angela, with working with people that have experienced traumatic events, or children that have experienced traumatic events, do you feel that the therapy and the approaches that you have used in your professional career, is there a percentage of people that it just does not help? Or if people stick with it, do you find that you have success with the different therapeutic practices that you use?
It's individualized again. The individual people respond to different therapies. So where TFCBT may work for, you know, 10 people over there, it may not work for some other people. There, I personally believe therapy will help anyone, but, you know, we've all heard you can't be helped if you don't want to be helped. So
right.
Part of that, you know, and then even once we get you to the piece where you're like, okay, I can use the help, then we got to find what's the best way to help that person. So, yes and no. Yes, it does work,
okay.
And no, it doesn't. You know, everybody is okay. Not going to heal.
Right, okay. Okay, again, we are talking about trauma tonight, the effects of trauma, We have went into some of the treatments about trauma. We have about 10 minutes left on our program, so I would like to ask anyone in our listening audience if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make. Time, please dial 1 on your keyboard, and we will be, Angela will be glad to entertain any questions or comments that you may have. Again, we are talking about trauma and traumatic events. Okay, let me pause for just a second and see if we have any questions in our queue. It looks like we don't. So, Angela, we're going to kind of do a summary of what we have talked about tonight. You have defined what is trauma. You have also defined how it impacts individuals, their abilities to function in everyday life. And we have also talked about some treatments that you may receive or that you personally administer to your clients that have experienced trauma. This has been very informative, Angela, and again, we do thank you for your work and for what you do and what you add to society. And Angela, I would just like for you to just give us some closing thoughts on what, if we have a caller on the line tonight that is presently experiencing a traumatic event in their life, would you just give some advice or some comments on some things that may be helpful? You've probably already talked about it, but just do a summary for us, and we will just be glad to have that summarized.
Okay. Taya and our guests, I forgot to say at the beginning, to administer therapy for trauma, we do have a special certification for that because it is such a intense and touchy thing to go through. So we go through an intensive training to be TFCBT therapists. And you and you actually get certified and licensed by the state or the, you know, to be able to use that, and insurance companies will bill under a traumatic, you know, diagnosis. So, but with that said, is anyone who feels like they have had, whether they want to call it trauma or just has experienced something that reaches to their heart, to just get help. It's not a negative stigma. Everybody needs to talk with someone. A lot of us women, we always have girlfriend therapy, so you might as well take it to someone professional, particularly if your insurance will pay for it. Just go and use it. There is screening you can do online, and I'm just going to say it. There's a model called Luna, like the moon, L-U-N-A, and it's the site is lunamodel.org. Or you can call 1-800-75-SEALS to get a you, and it's just a an anonymous screening you can do. You can go online and get the screening and see, you know, see if you qualify or you fit under possibly experiencing a trauma. And my advice is, since trauma can send you to places you cannot, may not be able to come back from, just get help. You know, if you question it, get help.
Okay, thank you so much, Angela. This was a very informative and encouraging session. I thank you, and again, and I admire you for your certification, for your education, and especially for reaching out to some very difficult audience, which are children. And Angela works in a school system, in a high school system, and right now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Angela, but I believe that we just only have one high school that is public in our city. And so we just admire the fact that you are willing to work with our children. Our children are the generation of tomorrow. They are the adults of tomorrow. And we definitely want our children to be healthy. We want them to be able to experience good therapy if they have experienced any kind of trauma. And in our society today, when we look at our young people, we do realize that something has gone wrong with our young people. So anyone such as Angela and her colleagues, or anyone that may be on the line that are willing to dedicate their life and their career to make children's lives more healthier, then we have to applaud them and thank God for them. So I thank God for you, Angela. I believe that you were chosen for your career, and I know that anyone that comes across your path, any child or adult, will be blessed just because it's you and you are a child of God. So we want to applaud Angela for her efforts and for her work. And again, we will be ending the program in a couple of minutes. I will give you one more opportunity. I show eight callers on the line at this time. I think we've had up to 11 at one time. Any of the eight callers that are on the line right now, if you have anything that you would like to ask Angela, please feel free to dial 1 on your keyboard, and we will be glad to take your question or your comment in these last few minutes. Anyone that wants to make a comment or a question, you may do it now. Okay. All right. I don't think we have any more comments or questions. We'd like to thank the two ladies that did make comments and questions, and we would also like to thank our listening audience. It's not always that you have to have anything to say, but we pray that you have gained some knowledge and some insight concerning traumatic events and trauma in your lives. We ask that you share your thoughts or what you have heard with other people that you run across. And just remember, every Thursday night is Wondrous Women Nights. We will be dealing with several topics on Thursday nights that deal with women issues. If you ever have a topic that you would like to hear addressed on Thursday nights, please feel free to reach out to Brother John Marshall, who is the sponsor of Grace View, and you can find him at www.blogtalkradio.com/TheGraceView. You can always put a message on the page, and I'm sure that he will be glad to entertain any thoughts or any topics that you would like to have addressed. Again, we thank you all. We pray that you were blessed by the conversation. We thank Angela again. God bless you all, and we hope to have you back online with us on next Thursday. Thank you so much. And this will end our program.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.